Heyo, and here we go. Welcome to another episode of We Talk Music. We are live with another extra special interview. I am your host, Mr. Brett Podcast, and I am joined by my co-host, who are you?
Mo.
Excellent.
It doesn't matter who I am.
Totally doesn't matter.
All that matters is who's on the phone.
That's right. People care about him. He is my favorite singer. He is the lead singer of Hardline. He is got solo albums. He sings with Axel Rudy Pell. He is Johnny Gioeli. Johnny, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Great to be on air with you guys. I'm feeling great. I'm energized. I've got the rock and roll flowing through my blood. And I've got my computer talking to me all at the same time.
Awesome.
It's awesome. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're super awesome because we got you.
We do.
He like thought it looked like his grandpa. And I laughed. I said, yeah, they're not young, but they're epic. And then look at these guys still freaking rock. And you're gonna see Dad up there with the jiggly arms. And I'm gonna bring the wrinkles and no hair. I'm doing it. Anyway, it was a good eye opener for my 15-year-old to see that, you know, these guys still perform so great and they still have the will to do it and the energy to do it, and it's commendable, man. So I've got a lot of work ahead of me to keep up with these old timers.
You know what? Deep Purple can do it. You can do it. And truthfully, I mean, it's got to keep you young, right? I mean, everybody needs a purpose. But I mean, getting on stage and doing that is it's got to be a kick in the ass and keep you young.
I think so, man. I think, you know, music has kept me young. You know, I've lived an oxymoron rock life. You know, I never got into the whole drugs and alcohol scene or any of that stuff. I wasn't injecting anything into my body. I was at the gym in between shows and stuff, and I think that's helped give me this crazy singer energy to keep making albums. And, you know, I made 4+ albums this last year, and that's a lot of songs, you guys. I realized that my whole discography I have now, this is insane, over 50 albums. There's over 720 songs in my collection, you know, that's registered, and I'm like, no wonder I need a teleprompter. I can't remember what I said for breakfast, let alone all these lyrics. And it's funny because we have a new Axel Rudy Pell tour coming up in June for the anniversary. It's actually a 30-year anniversary, and he added some songs to the set, and he said, Johnny, let's do Voodoo Nights. And I was like, oh, cool, who sings that one? He goes, you do. I'm like, I do? I had to go back and listen and said, oh, shit, that's me. I sing that. Okay, yeah, I remember that album. So it's true, you know, when you hear of artists like, how come they don't know their lyrics? It's because their brains are filled. I'm completely filled. So anyway, good times, though, man. Being able to perform and still create is a blessing, man. I'm grateful. You guys know how grateful I am. I always tell you.
So is it easier then with a new album to remember the songs on stage, or is that more difficult because they're fresher, but they're also, you haven't performed them as often? Like, you know, the songs on Life here, out April 26th.
Oh, good plug.
Yeah, thank you. Plug. No, it's not any easier. You know, I've gotten to the point now where, look, I know these lyrics, but it's like a young kid taking a math test. You know, you know how to solve the problem, but you sort of freeze. You know, like, wait a minute. You know, for me, my comfort level is, let me just make sure I have those lyrics, you know, in a computer, just in case. But yeah, it's not any easier for me just because we just recorded it. Not at all, man. Because I've got a Hardline tour, I have an Axel tour, I have a Robert Rodrigo. I put out an album with this great guitar player, very Yngwie Malmsteen guy. His name is Robert Rodrigo. We got an album called Living for Louder. It's awesome, an awesome album. So we have some dates coming up. I'm also in Japan in the summer for Crush 40 for my gaming music. So, bro, I am like bubbling over mentally trying to keep these songs in my head.
Do the tours overlap? Like, do you wind up doing a... Because I saw that the Hardline tour definitely seems to cross into, you know, multiple months. And I know that you've got June with Axel Rudy Pell. So yeah, do you almost forget, like, which concert you're supposed to be going to?
Well, you know, for me, it's easy switching hats because I've lived these bands for, you know, 25-plus years, you know. But I do have to be prepared for these shows. You know, Axel's a heavy kind of, you know, if I'm not soaked to the bone marrow, then I didn't do my job on stage. So for me, it's just putting my head in the correct mental music place. But yes, they overlap. I've got literally Robert Rodrigo into Axel into Hardline, and this goes literally till the end of 2020. So, but I like that kind of challenge, man. I'm into it. I'm into it.
Well, and I think you know, when it comes to you, like that really speaks to the versatility of your voice, that you're able to go from Hardline into the Axel stuff. And I mean, that's one of the reasons that I appreciate you so much, is just because, you know, as a singer, you've got so much to offer.
Well, thank you, man. I don't know how to comment on that other than thank you. I try, and I'm going to keep doing it until you guys tell me to stop.
We aren't telling you to stop. We're not doing that. Yeah, especially not with this new Hardline album. You know, I think it's just great. Honestly, I mean, it's going to definitely be in my you know, contenders for albums of the year, best albums of 2019. It's no question about it. It's really, like, I don't know how you managed to do it, because it's got such a modern feel and such a classic feel at the same time. I don't know how you managed to mix the two of them together to create this just kind of perfect meld of songs.
I'm really, really grateful that you recognize that and you nailed it. That's what we wanted to accomplish out of this. We, you know, with the addition of Marco on drums, DeSalvia, he's such an extreme drummer that it should like be a sport. Like, he should have his own sport. And Mario Percudani, all these beautiful Italians, they brought, you know, new life to this music. And there's more we can do, and I can't wait to start writing the next one, which I'm not going to get through these tours. But yeah, I think we've accomplished that. We've created a record that has a good message. You know, it's not a concept album, but it has a good concept. It's life. Get off the hamster wheel. Think about your life. Songs like Page of Your Life, which is just, you know, where are you going to be? Where do you want to be? Where are you? You know, we're all moving at 17 trillion million miles an hour. And I wanted this album for everyone to just stop and just, you know, just listen to these words, think about this, and where are you? Fulfilled, unfulfilled, want to make a change, don't want to make a change, leaving a legacy, not leaving a legacy? That's what this album is about. And, you know, I love some of these songs. You know, I'm a sucker for a ballad. So This Love, I love this song. My Friend, it's an acoustic piece. My Friend, which is basically a, you know, everyone in the audience, everyone thinks it's so funny when I give that song to friends. They go, oh, thank you. You wrote that about me. Like, no, I didn't write that about you. I wrote that song because everyone who supports music, buys tickets to shows, is there for me and for all the other bands. They're my friends, and that's where that song came from. They're people that I can say anything I want to, like your best friend. I can say anything to that person, and they're going to accept it and hear it. You know, so that's what that song's all about. So there's just some cool stuff. You know, Take a Chance. I mean, it's just good melodic. Look, we're not reinventing the wheel. It's Hardline. We do what we do. We stay within our melody box, and we do our best to try to make music that we love first, and hopefully you love after we love it.
You know, and that's
so that's my
yeah. No, that's the thing is it's. I mean, Hardline's always made me feel good. But this album in particular is just, when it's done, I went, oh yeah, I feel uplifted. And I wasn't even sure why. But, you know, hearing you talk about it, it makes sense. It's just connecting on that level.
Well, Well, maybe you had coffee when you listened to it. You can slow down on the caffeine, bro. Listen who's talking. Listen to me having to slow down. But you're right, man. That is same feeling. I'm really into running, like outside, like put the headphones and run. And I've been listening to my own album. I don't usually do that, but I've been listening to it over and over. And there are songs like "Place to Call Home," which is the first track. It gets me running faster. I don't know. You're right. It's a good feel album. I love it. Again, not reinventing a wheel here. Just good, cool music. And it's very, reminding of my Double Eclipse days. People have been comparing it a lot, saying it just has that good feel. And so, and then we can take this music and just completely just make it massive on stage, which I'm so excited to do at the end of this month. And can't wait.
Get the headphones and run sounds like a good song title, by the way, because you want to... Now you have to share the title, the credit with me. But, you know, if you want to use that, that's a good one.
Don't worry, bro. We'll split it right down the middle, 80-20. I'm in the music business. Right down the middle. 80-20.
Well, Johnny, it's interesting. You talk about legacy, and I've conversed with several artists about this of recent. And so I'm wondering, what do you look for in your legacy?
Good question. I think what's most important to me is being a good person, man. You know, there's a lot of, back in the day, it was cool to be a bad rocker, this just wild, crazy ass. And maybe that's why I never had a massive career. I've had a great career, but I haven't had a massive career. And if that's what it takes to have a massive career, I'm not interested. So for me, look, when I'm gone, what I did will probably fade away. But hopefully the impact that I've had on people will be remembered. I think that's what it is for me. I want to have an impact on people, leave them with a good feeling, because I really do care about people. I'm not one of those guys that walks up to you and say, "How you doing?" I really mean, "How are you doing?" And so I think for me, that's it. I just, want to be remembered as that guy was a really nice guy. It doesn't, even if the music is not remembered. I just hope I've left that impact with people. That's the legacy I want to leave.
Is it easier to be a nice guy now than maybe it was in the music industry when you broke in? Is it, was there more pressure, do you think, to do all these things and I don't know, to...
It's interesting, man, because when you're in your young 20s and you have a $8.5 million record deal and you don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I look back now and I laugh and go, "God, man, you are such a poser." I didn't know who I was. I was trying to be. Here's the difference. I was trying to be who I thought I needed to be and who I thought the people wanted me to be. And as you get older, you realize that was all wrong. I can admit it. It was all wrong. You need to be who you are. And that's it. And, sometimes I laugh, I joke around on stage because, there's some things that are just so commonplace to a rock show. Like, we end the night, we leave the stage, you scream for more, and we come back out. For God's sakes, we're going to come back out. So now, I make a joke. Like, this is the part of the show where we stop, you scream, encore, you want more, we come back out like rock stars. We're going to bypass all that shit, and we're just going to play. And the people go crazy, man. And that's really, where it's at. It's, The recordings have to be real. I hate all these computers, bro. I'm a singer. If I sing a verse and I don't sing it well, guess what I do? I sing it again. If it's still not good, I sing it again. And this cut, copy, paste, and push, and this, and auto-tune, and this and that. Look, that's fine, but I think what people are missing, like the modern-day musicians, are missing the fact that we are recording a time and place, a place in time. There we go. I haven't had lunch. So it's important. It doesn't have to be perfect. You just have to capture that time period. If you go back and listen to like Zeppelin albums, which are epic, and Queen albums, which are epic, they're not perfect. You'll hear pitchy things. You'll hear time moving, drums speeding up. So who cares? They're capturing that creative moment. And it bums me out that, you know, we've lost a lot of that with computers. It's just, oh, we'll just fix that. Why? Let's capture what you wrote this song, you painted this picture, let's record it. Let's catch the feeling and the vibe at that moment. You know what? Maybe the next day we would have performed it better, but we weren't recording it on the next day. We're recording it on that day. And that's what you're capturing. And I think that for me, I'm that person now. And, you know, in the younger days, I was trying to be whatever I thought I was supposed to be. Whew. That was long-winded. Sorry, guys. You need a coffee?
It's okay. Because the only problem that I have with that answer is the fact that now I have 8 questions leading out of it.
And I have but 15 more.
Okay, I'm ready.
But, don't worry. Well, the question that I wanted to ask immediately was, like, you talk about you being you and stuff like that. Well, when you're working with Axel Rudy Pell, especially, and, I mean, Alessandro DeVecchio does the production on the Hardline and stuff like that. Does Axel ever want you to be something different, or is that one of the reasons that you've worked so well with him? Is just the fact that he wants you to be you?
Yeah, no, exactly. He wants me to be me. We change nothing. So that kind of music for me, you know, when Axel approached me for Oceans of Time many moons ago, 1998, Oceans of Time. He heard my voice on his songs, and I heard my voice on his songs. To me, that was, it's easy music. That's where I came from, this Ronnie James Dio, the Sabbath-y Rainbow, this growly thing that happens naturally for me. If it was a situation where I had to alter my sound for him, I would have never done the project ever. I would have never been in the band. I just can't do that. So whatever I do, if someone asks me to participate in a particular album or, you know, a song or whatever, it has to be me or I don't do it. And let me just tell you guys, being very forthcoming and very honest with you, because that's the way I am, I get offered a tremendous amount of money to record songs, to use my voice on a song, and I turn them down if I can't be who I am or make that song better. I won't do it. It's just not important to me. So I hope I answered that question for you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's no doubt about it. And you know, again, that's one of those cases I think about being a better person, being the person that you're trying to, you know, live into. I think from my perspective, it makes a difference that you are willing to live into that. Because it's hard to believe in somebody saying all the nice things if they're not willing to live into that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not Saint Johnny. You know, there's no question. I mean, I have my faults. I mean, I'm not a perfect human by any means. None of us are. But for me, it's more important for me to go out of my way to make someone feel good, personally or through music. I go out of my way to do it. You know, there's a lot of artists that it's shameful, man. I won't name any names, but it's shameful that they perform and then leave without recognizing or remembering why they're there. And I do. Sometimes there's particular band members that I work with that say, oh, I'm really tired and I really don't feel like going on stage. And I'm like, not me. I'm every one of those people bought a ticket, and some struggled to buy a ticket, and I'm going to freaking kick ass to my bone marrow. So the day that I don't have that in me anymore, that's when it becomes unfair to the fans and to those who support this music, and that's when you have to stop. You put the white flag up and say, okay, I'm done. I'm not ready for that.
So, and this question might take a little bit. If you want to take a bite of pasta, you probably got time here before I'm about to ask you. But,
I'm good, man. I'm nurturing this plate of pasta here. I'm good. Don't worry.
You're good. All right. So, you know, just to bring it back there and to talk about Life then, the new Hardline album, Life, out April 26th. We're going to keep hammering because I definitely want people to listen to it. It's so damn good. And, you know, you talk about being yourselves, and one of the standout tracks on here is a Queen song, Who Wants to Live Forever. So how about that then? You're performing somebody else's song, a song that's very familiar to, I'm sure, yourself and just about everybody who's going to hear it. So how do you be yourself on a song that is so familiar already?
So I'll give you a little background. So that was a ballsy move on my part. Everyone told you these dogs have been apart. That was a very ballsy move for me. So why did I do that song? Let me answer that question first of all. Queen, Freddie Mercury, epic. I don't have another word. Epic in all sense of the word. I mean, just epic. When Bohemian Rhapsody, they started playing little trailers and hinting that the movie was coming out. I've always loved Who Wants to Live Forever. I recall my daughter, when she was young, when there was an American Idol episode and someone played a Queen song, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, that was incredible." And I was like, "No, it wasn't." I flipped out, like, "This is incredible." And I showed her Freddie Mercury, and she just kind of looked at the screen on the computer and like, "That's incredible." So I've always loved that song. I merely wanted to do it as a tribute, and this Freddie was certainly an influence, and but you know, there's no way I was trying to overshadow or shine his shoes, because you just can't do that. It was just me picking that song that I love and wanting to sing it. You know, I love writing songs, but remember, I'm a musician too. I'm also a fan of music too. And to have an opportunity to do a song like that and say, guys, this is the way I sing it, was just a thrill, man. It's just a thrill, and I hope you love it. I love it. I listen to it, and I go. As a matter of fact, I just sent it to Brian May. Played with Brian May back in '93 when we were on tour with Extreme. It was Hardline and Extreme. We did a whole UK tour, and got to meet him and the whole thing. And I just literally sent him the song. Hopefully, I'll get some feedback. I just wanted to do it, just as a tribute. That's it. Just to say thank you, man. Here's my version of it. That's all. There's so many versions of it, but this was mine with my growl and my thing. So
yeah, I love that. I think it's a terrific interpretation of you know, a beautiful song, right? And so yeah, I'm really hoping you get some feedback. I would love to know. Hopefully you put that up on your Instagram or something like that, you know, and let people know
so
if you hear about it.
There's the audio version is on YouTube, and the comments are so wonderful. There's only one thumbs down, and it must be an ex-bandmate. Call a spade a spade. It's probably an ex-bandmate. But all the comments are so incredible that I read them and I go, wow, really? And it's definitely on YouTube, and it's easy to search it. Hardline, Who Wants to Live Forever, and then you'll hear the track if you know and it's cool. I'll tell you the other thing, it's really cool for young kids who are really not familiar with Queen. I mean, I get these young kids coming up to me saying, "I found this new band called Led Zeppelin." Yeah, it's a trip. It's a trip. So it's sort of the same thing with Queen. You know, it's a lot of the Crush 40 gaming kids are, you know, were younger when I was already an old man. They're young. And so so they're hearing this, and it's opening up their musical catalog and realize, oh, wow, this is a band called Queen. And then I just think it's all about, you know, it's like, you know, spreading religion. You know, it's just a good thing.
You know, it reminds me, I think it was Kanye West who did a song with Paul McCartney a few years ago. And a bunch of, you know, the young kids were like, oh, this Paul McCartney's career is going to take off now that he, I mean, anyway, you know, Kanye West might see something to in him. And, you know, and it's like, Paul McCartney, guys, Beatles,
yeah,
you familiar at all?
You go on the voice. Oh, that's jeez. Funny.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was hilarious.
It's wild. We enjoyed making it. It was a last minute thing, too. I called up Alessandro and I said, bro, I want to remake this song. Can we do it? He's like, are you kidding? I go, no, bro, can we do this? Let's do this. He's like, that's really risky. I said, I want to take the risk. I want to thank Queen. I want to thank him. Let's do it. Let's do it for Freddie. Let's do it for Queen. Let's just do it. And there it is.
Well, I think,
on the record.
I think I wish we could talk about that and so much more on the record for forever with you here. This is great fun, but I think that's our time. I think you probably got another one. Unfortunately, that won't be as much fun, but...
Yeah, maybe not. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much for the time and your support and for all the great words. And to all your listeners, thank you guys so much. I'm so grateful every single day that I can continue to make music for you guys and have you accepted. And I'm grateful. So thanks everyone.
And I don't know if we've mentioned this, but it's Life, the new album by Hardline, out April 26th.
In case you haven't heard, my new album Life comes out April 26th. Just letting you know, it's called Life Hardline.
Johnny Gioeli, Brett's favorite singer.
That's right.
And hell, right. Mine now too.
But before you...
No, I'm not going to sing. All right, man. Thank you guys so much. Always great talking to you, and hope to talk to you soon in about 3 months with the new album. No, I don't know. There's no more new albums.
Well, come on. Yeah, you've got two more to do this year, right?
Yeah. Matter of fact, yeah. So great talking to you guys. Thanks for everything, man.
Thank you. When you give it all you've got, it never seems enough. On the climb to the top of the mountain, if you reach a little more, in the words it all became, just words on the page. The page of your